The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today. You guys are absolutely crazy, insane, cuckoo. If you think that the Jets' success, I love that he confirms it right away. Affirmative. If you think that the Jets' success means anything to the Packers, because the two franchises are completely independent of one another. They're so independent that they play in different divisions and they play in different conferences. Like, the Jets may have success, and it doesn't mean that the Packers erred in parting ways with Aaron Rodgers. There's no guarantee that he would have had the same level of success in New York that he would have in Green Bay, especially if you subscribe to the theory, to the narrative, that a hacked-off Aaron Rodgers plays better than a complacent Aaron Rodgers, which is what a lot of people think the Green Bay Packers got last season.
So this is a no-lose for Goody? Trading Aaron Rodgers won't ever be held against him?
What do you mean won't ever be held against him?
Well, I mean...
Gabe, listen, as we were reminded of yesterday, as we were watching people react to Aaron Rodgers on Pat McAfee, people are irrational. People don't always think logically. People don't always put two and two together and come up with four.
But the point is...
But they need validation. They need to see for their own eyes it was a mistake.
But...
Aaron Rodgers finished second in the MVP race with the Jets. What are we doing? Why'd we... Of course because, there's going to be people that say that.
Everybody knows why you're parting ways with him. Because the relationship had run its course.
Yes.
Because he's an aging quarterback who does have, whether you want to admit it or not, physical decline, especially in the run game, especially in his mobility. And you already have his successor. And you believe that you can have...
That's the guy that it all comes down to. If Jordan Love stinks... Then Aaron Rodgers, moving out from Aaron Rodgers is a mistake.
But as we have
if Jordan
seen,
Love is good, much like Aaron Rodgers was good when you moved on from Brett, then you made the right decision.
It is 1,000% the right decision, and I came to that realization because I was saying before that, okay, you don't get rid of him if you're all in. After listening to these cap people, they can't go all in. They have no money. There's no money. There's no money. Right? They couldn't go out and get DeAndre Hopkins.
No.
And a tight end.
Correct. But again, they did this to themselves.
They did do it to themselves.
Because I don't think much has changed in the relationship. Like, Aaron Rodgers hasn't changed as a person in the last 12 months. Signed into a massive extension last year. Big difference? Jordan Love not ready. This year, they think Jordan Love is ready. So, to me, if Jordan Love is not ready, and Jordan Love stinks... That's what gets held against
you. Yeah, but it's all about your expectations for Jordan Love. If you're expecting him to go out there and be 2020, 2021 Aaron Rodgers, guess what? You're going to be disappointed.
No, I want him to be 2008 Aaron Rodgers.
That is a lofty expectation to put on a young kid who will be getting his first meaningful reps in the NFL.
No. But if he does stink, that's fine. Because you didn't give him Carson Wentz money. And you didn't give him Goff money. Okay, so what? He's gone. Big deal. Okay, he's another piece of the rebuild, right? Where you get screwed is Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You give him 200-something million, and the guy's terrible. That's where you get hurt. That's where you get hurt.
And again, my expectations aren't incredibly high for Jordan Love, but if they win two or three games next year... That's
bad.
But if they go six in the math.
But is it an indictment of Jordan Love or is it about the pieces that you're putting around him? Because we keep going back to that 49ers example. We keep going back to the way that the 49ers built their roster and how they were so good everywhere that they could stick Brock Purdy in there at quarterback and still make a deep playoff run. And we were saying, do that for Jordan Love. Continue to put pieces around him. And that's why if the Jets have success, guys, it will be because... Rodgers is stepping into a team that is already really good. And I'm not even sure that they are going to have immediate success, to be perfectly honest with you, because I still say that you're playing in murderer's row in the AFC. You're going against the Bills. You're going against the Bengals. You're going against the Chiefs. You're going against all of these teams that we have seen ascending. Whereas in the NFC, you're going against some middling squads, right? You still hope to be one of the top teams in your division.
He doesn't have to be great. If they nail the tight end this year, right? If they get their guy. And I'm not saying this upcoming year, we're going to know that it's a guy. I'm saying two years from now, three years from now. Can you just stop right now?
No, because I'm not going to set my expectations for getting a cool tight end when the Packers haven't done anything
then
cool offensively in the first round.
But don't rain on my parade. Don't piss in my
Cheerios. So negative today.
That's crazy.
You can't say that.
Yeah.
Are you okay?
No! What made you think I was?
What do you mean you're not okay?
What do you mean?
Time out. This is the first I'm hearing that you're not okay.
So you wanted
Rodgers?
Just
look at him.
You wanted Rodgers.
I don't know what I want. I understand it was time to move on. But again, I've said this all week. I'm terrified of what's next for the Green Bay Packers. Because 3-3 in the math is on the table.
Yes, it is.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that is on the table. Like, having one of the worst Packer teams of my lifetime is on the table. But also on the table is a plucky underdog that makes a run at the end of the season and sneaks in as a wild card. Like, all of that, like, that's the ceiling, and the floor is so low, I don't know what to feel. I understand it was time to move on from Aaron Rodgers. I get that. But you are putting all of your eggs now, if you're Gutekunst, if you're LaFleur, in the Jordan Love basket.
It sounds like it's not just Jordan Love to you. It sounds like it's LaFleur and it's Joe Barry Carroll.
It's an indictment on everybody,
and it's
man.
Goody.
Like Goody hit. Goody nailed this last draft.
Yes.
Drafts before that, suspect. Before that, decided to trade away Davante Adams, even though he had the leverage. So I don't know who to believe in the Green Bay Packers. For the last 15 years, I've been able to, even though he's been a pain in the ass, believe in Aaron Rodgers. I've been able to believe in the guy because the guy's he's that good. Four-time MVP. Took him to a Super Bowl 12 years ago. So I knew at the end of the day, that was there. Who do I believe in this Green Bay Packers team?
Well, that's what goes along with a rebuild. You don't know. You got to build the thing back up.
But again,
that's terrifying.
Yeah, crazy to me that you don't recognize that all of these people who work with Aaron Rodgers regularly were ready to turn the page. You don't think they knew that, like, hey, we could keep him around and we could deal with his, you know, complicatedness and whatnot,
and probably
win some games. Yes. But it came to a point where it was like, this is untenable and we're ready to move on. Mm-hmm. And to your point, Jordan Love is serviceable. Hopefully. No. Gabe, they are the only way they move on. You just said it yourself. The only way they move on is if he is serviceable.
But this is the same guy that decided to trade away Davante Adams with all the, like, I'm supposed to trust that this guy knows what he's seeing? He traded away Davante Adams with all the leverage.
But you just said he had a great draft. Well, and ostensibly, if he was able to have a great draft, what do you think? He just got lucky with all of those picks? Clearly, either he or the scouting department are pretty damn good at evaluating.
The previous four drafts weren't great.
Gabe.
So one of those is an aberration. The other's the trend.
But Gabe, and they know this, if they're trying to sell us on Jordan Love, which they are, right?
Yep, 100%.
They're trying to sell us on, and he flops, they're fired.
Yeah,
they're fired.
Who
they're
is
gone.
Firing them? Who? Murphy,
before he's out the door, is going to fire everyone and say, you know what? I'm choosing the next coach.
Are you crazy? Murphy is going to let this thing ride until he walks out the door. There's no chance Murphy is fired.
Let me tell you
what.
So you don't think there is a chance this whole staff gets fired at the end of this next year?
No chance.
If they go 1-16.
Are you familiar with Mark Murphy's
work? 1-16, Jed.
First of all, I don't think they go 1-16. I don't think that that's a possibility. However, if they do lose a lot of games, I think they have a built-in learning curve. I think they have a built-in, we understand that this is going to take time, that there is a process to this. That's what I think they've convinced themselves of when they decided to turn the page. They are lowering the expectations, therefore...
This isn't a rookie quarterback. This
I will
is
be screaming for a firing. I will be screaming because in 92, our roster was a joke. It was terrible. Wasn't very good. It was probably equivalent to what they have now, and we won 9 games. Your coach alone with a sugary team...
Because sugar's bad for you.
I had him, too. He's bending
I got long-ass arms. I could have reached the dump button plenty of times, pal.
A sugary team... I forgot what the hell I was talking
your
about.
Your team was bad. Your coach counts for...
6 wins. LaFleur should count with this team, with this quarterback, for 5 wins. Let's say 5 wins.
Okay.
They win one... Why does it smell like a skunk in here?
I also just smelled that.
It smells like that in here,
what
too.
Is going
it's not
on?
A skunk. I tell you what, it's not.
You see Jenny's face? She looked like...
She definitely got me.
Where is it coming from and
it's
can we
coming
share?
From... Listen, it's definitely coming from the ventilation.
Hey, somebody, it ain't Montezuma. That's all I'm saying, all right?
Is enjoying their
Somebody's
morning.
Having a good morning.
Holy moly. And it is coming through It's coming through the vents.
This is going to be a fun next hour and a half, huh?
Oh, man, it's going to be a contact high.
I can't wait. I'm excited. Let's go, Chew.
Actually, the smell of a skunk is not that bad.
Maybe it'll mellow this dude out. Yeah, holy hell.
We got other stuff.
Hey,
we really
come over here and stick your nose up to the vent, okay? I don't have to deal with your anxiety this morning
any
longer.
How much contact high do you
have
already?
Speaker, no. Hold on. Oh, where's the vent? Is that the vent? Go stick your nose up there to that vent.
Wow.
Either way, it'll help you mellow out. We're getting a lot of reaction on the ESPN Milwaukee talk and text line. Pete McGuanago saying, Gabe, R-E-L-A-X.
So somebody would share,
unnamed,
I could.
Unnamed in the 262 saying, Gabe is insane. The Jets won't make the playoffs. Aaron Rodgers couldn't do it in Green Bay. Adam in Cedarburg saying, Gabe needs to take a deep breath and listen to what the players on the Packers are saying about Jordan Love. Forget about Goody. Forget about Murphy. Listen to what the players are saying. Dick Van Dyke saying, Gabe, you're having a crisis. It's been 15 years.
I'm aware.
Four lost NFC Championships games, one Super Bowl, four MVPs. He had a down year. The writing is on the wall. Be scared. Be scared either way. Be good or we'll be awful, but be a fan. I don't know what that is. Really,
well, no.
That went off the rails.
I'm giving you dispensation today. You can start St. Patty's Day today.
Oh, hell yeah.
Okay.
You got some green beer for me anywhere?
Ruben's for everybody.
You and the Blammer are going to have some green beer
tonight?
Oh,
it is Blammer Thursday, yeah.
So, again, the crisis that I'm having, and I've had this conversation with some friends that I have that are Packer fans on a group text. In my lifetime, really, in my Packers memory, you know, like I started being a Packers fan around 92, 90, you know, they won nine games and you guys were mm-hmm. building towards something.
Yep.
Ever since 1996, like the Packers have been a relevant team. Yes, they stunk in 2005 and went 4-12, had a lot of injuries, but they still had Brett. And Brett made them relevant and Brett gave you hope. So really, it's been 1 year where the Packers, in the last
30
years, have had to go through a quote-unquote rebuild. But even that rebuild was a new quarterback with a team that went 13-3 the year before and went to an NFC Championship game. So you knew there was talent on that roster. And it was just about, okay, what's Aaron Rodgers? There was a little bit of hope because of what he did in 2007, but you still didn't really know. Obviously, that turned out very well for the Packers and Aaron Rodgers, four MVPs, Super Bowl, yada, yada, yada. There are so many unknowns on this roster and still so many question marks. Yeah, I like Christian Watson. There's still a lot of growth that needs to happen there. Same thing with Romeo Doubs. Same thing with a lot of the young players that they have up and down this roster. And now you're turning a team that went 8-9 and missed the playoffs a year ago over to an unknown at quarterback. And that, again, I understand this is coming from a high place of Packers fandom NFL privilege, terrifies the hell out of me. Because I don't know what's coming next, and it's an unfamiliar feeling as a fan. Like, if you're a Bills fan, or if you're a Browns fan, like, that feeling of rebuilding, I can understand the excitement behind it. I'm not excited for that. I'm used to having expectations for my team to win. And now, I have no idea what to expect. And that is terrifying.
Yeah, that's scary. The unknown.
But do you see how measured and reasonable and calm he was?
Not as fun.
Yeah.
I want Gabe to cry today.
I was going to say, the smoke wafting through the vent finally made its way to Gabe.
I might have something in my backpack to help you, Gabe. I'll go get it.
Listen, we got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We have Jason Wilde coming up next, and he is going to give us his perspective on yesterday's announcement that Aaron Rodgers does, in fact, want to play for the New York Jets. Stick around.
Ready? Put.
All Packers, all the time.
It feels too easy. It feels too neat. It feels too not enough conflict-y.
Okay, most of the time.
Almonds specifically or all nuts?
Well, these nuts, those nuts, whatever nuts work.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chew. Brought to you by Boucher Automotive. With 16 different new car brands and over 35 pre-owned brands to choose from. Boucher Automotive. We are driven by you. And by the Bridgewater Modern Grill. Nestled in the heart of Milwaukee's emerging Harbor District. Enjoy a specialty crafted menu centered around a custom oak-fed grill.
Loyal listeners love hearing from Jason Wilde, love getting his perspective on all things Green Bay Packers, and I imagine today is no different. Good morning, Jason. How are you doing today?
So does that mean I can't talk about how I've driven by the Bridgewater Grill number of times when I'm down there for ballet and I go and run some errands, and I'd like to know if I can just waltz right in there and say, hey, you guys sponsor me on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. How about dinner? Is that not how that works?
I mean, it should work that way.
Don't you know who I am?
What if I would? That is, there is nothing, in my opinion, worse to say than that. Although, I think what I would go with instead is, hey, I know Gabe Neitzel. And see how that works.
What about lose my number? Where does that rank? Where does lose my number rank on the things that you would never say to somebody? Can you imagine?
I did text him after that and said, I know we've had our differences at times in the last couple of years. Thanks for never telling me to lose your number.
Did you write back?
I don't like to discuss his side of our conversations out of respect for his privacy and sense of humor. So I will just say this. I was, and I would tell him this to his face, and if at some point we have this discussion, I will say this to him. I think that could have gone better.
Yeah, I was very, very disappointed in how that went down, Jason, as you can well imagine, as I have relationships with both Adam Schefter and Diana Rossini, who were called out in that space. But as I said to the guys earlier this morning, Rodgers goes into every one of these media availabilities, every one of these Pat McAfee things with an agenda. And he wants to be measured and he wants to seem logical and he wants to seem intelligent. But if you let him unspool long enough, I think he shows his true colors. So I think that was an example of he kept it together. I'm not a victim. I understand. It's a business. Da, 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 da. But he got a little comfortable and then it was like, pew, shots fired. That's not what I wanted to discuss with you specifically, though.
Before we move, I do want to say this, though. And again, this is another thing that I would say directly to him. I'm not afraid to do that. I really think that the having to say out loud stuff like I'm not a victim or I'm not bitter or there's no animosity and all those things, that you might as well just hold a big neon sign that says I feel like a victim and there's animosity and there's I feel aggrieved. Like I don't think as a construct for conversation, If you have to say that and say it as often as he has on McAfee over and over and over again, I just think that that's I think you're giving away the game, because I don't believe that his plan yesterday wasn't to try and sway some of public opinion toward, hey, I'm the victim here. I'm not the one holding this up. I'm not the one who wanted to leave. Although, again, in his answer to A.J. Hawk, he certainly wasn't very convincing about the idea that what if the Packers had said, no, no, we want you to stay. And he would that would you have stayed then? And what was the first two words out of his mouth? Not really. Like, yeah. I didn't think that, you know, and again, I am friends with Tom Fanning, who has handled his PR for the Packers. Obviously, Aaron and I have had a really long relationship, and there have been times when he has sought my advice and I have given it to him and it has benefited him. Every time I watch, and yes, he did call me out on this at his, when we were talking at his locker once, where I said, look, man, I'm not saying this out of jealousy, but I just don't understand the appeal of you and the dynamic with Pat. Like, you never were the guy that had to have someone tell him how freaking great he was all the time. And he said, well, there's a little jealousy. And I laughed and I said, yeah, okay, guilty as charged. Doesn't change my larger point. And so I just, again, and there were some moments where I would like to have seen the Aaron Rodgers, who I did 4 years of shows with, who told me the very first time before we even did the first show, I know your ethics are important to you. I know you've taken a lot of blank over doing this. You never have to give me a question in advance. You ask me whatever you want. I can handle whatever you ask. And he did. And that is not the dynamic there. I would have loved for someone to push back on him on the idea of direct communication. Aaron, what has your direct communication been with them? Do you think you did a good enough job with direct communication to prevent this getting to the point that it's at?
Because I believe there was a report out there, Jason, to that point. Wasn't there a report out there, and it's so hard to keep track of where all of these come from at this point, but that he had gone radio silent on the franchise?
Yeah, I reported that too. There were there was a frustration that there had been very little communication for a very long time. Now he can respond to that and say, look, I didn't have anything to say. I was still trying to figure out what I wanted to do, right? And that would be a valid retort. But again, there's look, I am an obnoxious over-communicator in most aspects of my life. I'm not the best at returning emails. I will admit that. But in general, I want to talk about stuff at every turn to make sure that everyone's on the same page, that no one's getting the wrong impression. And if Aaron Rodgers could apply some of that, he definitely doesn't need to be like me because Lord knows I've got my flaws. But there are some aspects here that might have helped, not just with the court of public opinion, which, again, he says he doesn't care about, but you know he does. It's an unconvincing argument to say that he doesn't care about it at all. But maybe it doesn't get to where we are now, where we're in this stalemate. And I'll tell you this, I reached out to a number of NFL executives that I have some history with, so you can do your own sleuthing on this, to ask what's realistic in this trade that is currently at a standstill or at a stalemate. And one of the responses from someone who's been a GM was, it depends on the Rodgers, who's going to take on how much of Rodgers' contract. If the Packers take on some of that money, he said a second round pick. And if the Packers refuse to take on any of the money, he said a third round pick. Now juxtapose that to what the Broncos gave up for Russell Wilson and what the Rams gave up for Matthew Stafford. And now combine that with kind of the acrimony that we're looking at starting to emerge, and which will only get worse the longer this takes. And you find yourself thinking, man, they should have just done this last year. If Goody could turn back the clock, I have to think he's sitting there going, damn it, why didn't I just stick to it? I know he'd won back-to-back MVPs, but I wish I had just had the guts to do it last year. And you can't turn back time, as Cher has taught us.
So, Jason, who has the leverage?
Look, I was talking to two different friends of mine in the media, and I think one of them was going to write this last night. So it's Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, who's one of Sidney's godfathers. And he's like, I don't see the Packers leverage here. Like, there's everybody's arguing that, you know, Rodgers has said he wants to go to the Jets and that hurts the Jets leverage. I think the greater point is he's not going to play for anybody else, right? Like he's basically said that he wants to play. He has said he wants to play for the Jets. He has the power to play the retirement card if you try to trade him anywhere else that he doesn't want to go. It is in the AFC, which is what the Packers want. But the musical chairs of quarterbacks has largely stopped. So it's not like someone is likely to emerge to say, no, we want in on this. We'd like to acquire him. And the Packers are the ones with the $60 million albatross, or, you know, maybe the anvil that the Roadrunner drops on Wile E. Coyote, waiting to fall on them if this drags out and drags out and drags out. And suddenly, Rodgers is spending the offseason in limbo, and the Packers still have him on their payroll. Because the first week of the season, that is the ultimate deadline here, is week one of the regular season, when the Packers will have no choice but to take on the nearly $60 million of an option bonus, and then they're stuck with him. Because if they were to cut him then, it's $75 million against the 2023 cap and another $24 million against the 24 cap. So, look, this idea that the Jets have no leverage, the only thing that I would base that on is that they have an owner who is desperate to win, who is desperate to have a great veteran quarterback, who obviously is willing to do lots of things to get him, and maybe public pressure and owner pressure leads to that. But I would hope that Joe Douglas stands firm and says, look, they're the ones that are in the pickle here, not us. He only wants to play for us. That is to our advantage. We should try to get the best deal possible. I am not giving away our first-round pick because I don't think we need to.
Is this the first true rebuild you've had to cover?
Yes. I mean, look, this is one thing Rodgers is right about, Gabe. Teams never actually admit it, right? I mean, unless you're like the Texans. Like, they're going to try and say that they think they've got some pieces and that they can be good this year. And frankly, you know, maybe they can. I mean, you know, I didn't think they were that far away, but how far down to the studs are they going to tear this, right? Like, they did pay Bakhtiari $15 million now, converting base salary and roster bonus. So he got like 50, I don't know if it was like one of those publishers clearinghouse checks or what, but he got like $15 million. So he's in. That's why he tweeted that crying guy when Rodgers was done on McAfee. Look, other than him and Elton Jenkins, I mean, they've got some pieces on their offensive line. They've got two young receivers who they're excited about, but at the same time, now they're going to have a young, inexperienced quarterback throwing to him. I don't know if you guys remember this, but I always thought one of the reasons why Devontae, while he wouldn't flat out say it, he might as well have, I don't want to stick around if Aaron's going to retire and I got to play with Jordan Love. Because that Kansas City game, there was that throw on the sideline that was so far off target, and Devontae reached back to try and catch it, and I thought he was going to leave in an ambulance. He got hit so hard. And so, look, Jordan has improved a bunch. My one pet peeve about this, more than anything else, because there's plenty to have with Rodgers, is this idea that Jordan is so, like, ready now to be a starter because Goody has said so. Like, again, and I understand Aaron Rodgers is very difficult to work with, but if you were this, if they were truly this certain during the course of the season, then they should have had the guts to say, Aaron, look, I know you want to keep playing. I know you have this thing where you want to be just like Brett and play through everything. And he played through a broken thumb, not once, but twice. But it's really affecting you. I know you don't want to admit that. We want to shut you down for a couple weeks just to let it completely heal and not play in any games. We're going to see what Jordan can do. We get to see that. I mean, they lost five, including the game in which he injured his thumb. They lost five in a row. If they were still brimming with confidence, maybe it was just they were afraid of Aaron and they knew that they couldn't tell him he couldn't play. But I would like to have seen them make the switch because the Cowboys managed to survive for a while without Dak Prescott. I would like to have seen if the Packers could have done the same.
Jason, we appreciate you hanging out with us this morning. I know it's going to be a very busy day for you as well. Thanks for chatting a little Packers, Aaron Rodgers, New York Jets with us.
All right, everybody. Take care. Be good.
He's Jason Wilde. You can hear him on Wilde and Tausch right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, 9 to noon here on 94.5 ESPN. Good stuff there from Jason. Of course, we had Mike Greenberg on the show this morning. If you missed any of that, you can find it on Wisconsin On Demand. So that's Mike Greenberg in the 6 o'clock hour, Jason Wilde in the 7 o'clock hour, and we have Diana Rossini from ESPN coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. Stick around here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Is the electric chair still a thing?
Okay,
they
let
still
me read
use
the tweet.
The I figured everything was lethal injection at this point.
Is this usually what happens when I answer a phone call or can't read a tweet? You guys just talk about
the death penalty. Yes,
it's his fault. He did it.
Doing this show is a death penalty.
On 94.5 ESPN.
He doesn't need to carry this team. He needs to. You know, the term game manager is a terrible one because it sounds like something anyone could do. He needs to show up and not make big mistakes, which their quarterbacks last year did repeatedly. And the one thing Rodgers doesn't do is throw interceptions ever. And he needs to make a few spectacular plays a game.
That from Mike Greenberg, who I imagine is one of the happiest guys on the planet today, as Aaron Rodgers announced yesterday that he intends to play in 2023, because apparently at one point he was 90% positive he was going to retire. Okay, fair enough.
I don't agree with Green either.
You don't agree with Greeny about the game manager thing? He just needs to go in there and not make mistakes?
No. I mean, San Francisco, yes. You can get by with a game manager because they're good across the board. Debo's one of the best. Kittle is one of the best. McCaffrey is the best. That's different than a young guy there at receiver. I don't even know who their running back is. Their tight end is
Breece Hall.
No, he doesn't know who
you
got to
be more. You got to be
good
more.
Year last year.
Breece Hall? Until he got hurt.
Is that his son?
Yeah, it was Priest Holmes. Yep, 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 yep. No, it was everyone. It was Priest Holmes. That's exactly who it was.
He's old.
He is old. It's Priest Holmes.
No, can fall apart if you
Sean Alexander also on the roster.
You cannot be a game manager with this Jets offense.
To make the playoffs, yes. To go further than first round of the playoffs, you need to do more.
Correct.
And we talked about that article that the Ringer put out this morning, which was basically what version of Aaron Rodgers are the Jets getting? And if you get a chance to read it, I highly encourage you to do so, although there are going to be people out there who say, what do I care what version of Aaron Rodgers the Jets are getting? I'm a Packers fan. But it did go through the statistics and the analytics of his deep balls and if he had a decline, which some people thought that he did, and their conclusion was that he did not, that he could still sling the deep ball, that he could still find open receivers down the field. Where they said there was a drop-off is in his mobility mm-hmm. and his ability to extend plays, the scrambling, all of those things, and that does, in fact, affect his success rate. And so the conclusion that they came to, and so this is hashtag spoiler alert, was much like his time in Green Bay, the days when Rodgers could individually elevate a roster to contention are either over or coming to an end very soon. So they need to have a roster around him. They need for that defense to be able to keep the offense in games, at least as it's currently constructed. Now, could they go out there and add some pieces in the draft and obviously elevate their talent level? Certainly. And I think that goes back to why we are going to continue to have this standoff. Because I was saying to you guys, Woody Johnson made it pretty clear a number of times that he wants Aaron Rodgers, almost to the point of like, whatever it takes, whatever it costs. We were joking about it last week, that old song. Roy Orbison, I believe, was the guy. Anything you want, you got it. Anything you need, you got it. Anything at all, you got it. That's how it felt that Woody Johnson mm-hmm. was operating from an Aaron Rodgers standpoint. Somebody got to him. Somebody got to him, Gabe, and said, you don't have to do all of that.
Yeah, it could be his general manager. Again, Jason referencing some guys that have been general managers in the league, just asking, hey, what would this compensation look like? A second, if they take some money, or a third. That's what you're looking at. So if that's what other general managers think you can get him for, yeah, this general, you know, the Jets general manager is going to go to Woody and go, hey, bud, we don't have to give up first round picks.
Yeah, but the Jets.
I don't know why you told Peter King we had to give up two. That's why we don't have to do that.
That's why the Jets screwed this thing up, though. Because the Jets fans think it's signed, sealed, and delivered. They can't not do nothing. They can't do nothing.
But the Packers can't have Aaron Rodgers on the roster
either. No, they can't.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think anybody has leverage. I think this is just like everybody knows what's going on.
But how does the organization go back to the Jets fans and say, you know, we're going to roll it back with Zach
Wilson.
But again,
as we talked about earlier in the show, as long as Lamar Jackson is an option out there, can't they sell their team on, hey, if we don't get Aaron Rodgers, we still got that meat lover's pizza in the trunk.
But there's a right of first refusal, right?
They can match anything. Yeah,
they can match. Baltimore is not going
to
let Lamar.
Are you telling me that Baltimore is going to? Okay, so let's play this sucker out, right? Let's choose your own adventure our way through this thing.
All right.
So Aaron Rodgers is now not going to the Jets because they can't agree to compensation with the Green Bay Packers.
Yes.
So the Jets pivot to a Lamar Jackson, which means they have to give him an offer sheet, which means that then he has to bring that offer sheet back to the Ravens. And you're telling me the Ravens, who have dug their heels in on this whole thing, are now just going to acquiesce to the offer sheet that the New York Jets gave to Lamar Jackson?
No, because it's two first-round picks, right?
They would get two first-round picks.
Plus, they'd have to pay him a boatload of money.
Yes.
So why wouldn't you just give up the first for Rodgers?
Because you don't have to give up the first.
Look, the Jets window, the Jets defensive window is on the three-year. It's on the 3 year.
Yes.
That's what windows are. They're 3 years. Mm-hmm. Okay. They're look at the Eagles.
Yep.
The Eagles are not going to be as good as they were.
Lost some players.
Last year, they lost some players. You know? So the window's three. Lamar's just way too expensive. Now, if I was the Jets, I'd say, you know what? We screwed this thing up. We should have had this signed, sealed, and delivered before Rodgers went in. We screwed ourselves because we don't have David Carr or what? Shut up.
Derek.
Just call him D.
The shut up was to me for everyone listening and not watching.
Yes. They screwed that whole thing up, and now they're kind of stuck. So maybe the leverage is 50-50. I still think they get a first-round pick.
If I'm the Jets, you don't think so? If I'm the Jets, I'm not going to be cheap. I want the guy. I'm going to give the first-round pick. Like, this whole thing is ridiculous. Just pay what it costs to get the guy.
Yes.
You don't have to nickel and dime everything. This isn't Smell-a-ton.
You know what would be the best scenario? Is if Lamar signs with Baltimore today. Then they're screwed. Ask for 7 first-round picks.
Well, now,
do you know what Jets fans are? They're insane.
Yeah, but the Packers can't have Aaron Rodgers on the roster.
No, I know.
So they don't. It's not like the Packers are sitting negotiating from a place of strength either. They cannot have Aaron Rodgers.
No, they can't.
But until when? When? What's the deadline? The actual final real deadline, Gabe, is what?
First game of the season.
First game of the season. Wait. Dig your heels in and wait. He wasn't showing up to offseason workouts anyway, so what's the difference?
He would, though. Here's
the thing. I'm just telling
that
you, like,
would be wonderful.
None
he
of
would.
The things are going to change. And I could make the argument that the longer he sits on the Packers' side of the fence, the worse it is for the Jets, because they want him in there working with their guys. You don't think this is starting to unravel some of those dudes from an anxiety standpoint? Like, are we getting him? Are we not getting him? Can you guys actually make this happen? Can you pull the trigger already? Like, there's all sorts of things that are happening right now. And I do think that the Packers are in a position of strength of, we'll just wait.
Yeah, I agree.
We got our guy. Yeah. You don't have yours. Go ahead, trot Zach Wilson out there for your offseason workouts. See if we care.
Gabe wants him back.
Well, the problem is, if Rodgers wasn't already showing up to offseason workouts, what do they care? And the Packers want this thing to drag out? Again, Rodgers shows up for spite at camp. That's bad for the Packers.
Why in the world would he show up for spite at camp when he doesn't want to be there? He doesn't want to be there. I also will make the argument, from a personality standpoint, he's conflict averse, right? Like Jason said, he basically went radio silent on the front office and then was like, they don't want me back, but I'm not a victim.
Know,
you know what I mean?
It's like, so awesome. It's so...
If he shows
even
up,
as I'm saying it out loud, I can't help but chuckle my way through it. Absurdity.
If he shows up for family night after coming in on a PJ.
That would be awesome.
I'm just not going to show up to work for
a while. Hashtag FlightAware. 800-990-3776. Taking your reaction all morning long to the newest development, which is Aaron Rodgers wants to play in 2023 and he wants to be a New York Jet. Now they just got to figure out the compensation. Have those conversations. I know those two words were tough for Adam Schefter yesterday on one of his appearances on ESPN. We roll on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy right after this.
With a local Milwaukee team, Fifth Third Bank knows what success looks like. They've been serving businesses and individuals in the area for nearly 15 years, including a long-standing commitment to the healthcare industry. From expansion to technology to reducing the risk of fraud, Fifth Third offers a full suite of financial services and solutions across the healthcare spectrum to meet the complex moments you're navigating. Fifth Third Bank National Association, custom solutions built around your goals. Member FDIC.
Business.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Hey, everyone who I let try borscht likes it. They don't love it, but it's a liver.
What an endorsement.
This is your pitch.
But hold on.
Hey, yeah, like, guys, good luck. I don't even have to talk anymore.
On 94.5 ESPN.
She's in my mind when she's not right there beside me.
What is your understanding of how we got here, Gabe?
Packers drafted Jordan Love.
Oh, get the...
What do you mean? That's how we got here.
That's not what I was talking about.
Oh.
From the end
of
the season.
Oh, like existential? Like, I mean,
it's
am I a big
dinosaur?
Chewie's about to talk to us about a rib and whatnot. There was a garden. First, there was darkness.
And there was a snake.
Dispensation.
And that's how we got here. It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy on ESPN Milwaukee. Gabe Neitzel, Mark Chmura, Ashton Rotman, Jen Latta holding it down here in the One Call That's All studios at the 3rd Street Market. So what I mean by how did we get here, and I don't mean by my big-ass Tahoe either.
Okay? I mean, it's a very large, I mean, you've asked a very, you know, broad question, so I tried to answer it the best I could.
At the end of the season, we were under the impression that there was a decision to be made by Aaron Rodgers and that it was, am I going to play or not? And who am I going to play for?
Mm-hmm.
He alluded yesterday on the Pat McAfee show to this idea of he was pretty sure he was going to retire. How do you go from being 90% sure you want to retire, walk away from the game you have known since you were a little guy for the team you have played for the last 18 years to JK LOL, J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets.
Spite's a hell of a drug. That's what it is. I mean, he even admitted it yesterday. He was 90% sure. He comes out of darkness, hears the Packers are shopping him, and goes, oh, okay, you're going to shop me? Fine, shop me. I'll play somewhere else.
You think so?
This guy's
look,
been,
everyone
you,
wants
you
to...
You pointed this out earlier this week. Yeah. Like he hasn't forgotten the teacher that laughed at him when he said he was going to play in the NFL. He hasn't forgotten about the good luck on your pursuit of a college football career guy. He hasn't forgotten about going 23 when he thought he was going 1. Hasn't forgotten about the people who thought he was done. Hasn't forgotten about Gutekunst drafting Love and being one of those people who thought he was done. Like, this guy turns everything into a slight.
See, I think it was, if it was truly 90%, see, we all want to retire at the end of the season, especially when you know you're not Super Bowl worthy. You're like, this is it. I remember during stretch, like week 15, 16, that's it. I'm done after this year. I'm sick of this crap. It's over. And then that carries through probably till, let's say, 3 weeks after the season. You're like, all right, I'll play one more year. I think he's ticked off that the decision ultimately wasn't his. I think he would have went, if he was 90% sure that he was going to retire and then comes out and he stays with Green Bay.
It's easiest
he
thing to
stay
do.
With Green Bay.
That's what
if
we
you're
saying.
To that point
Path
at 90,
of least
yes.
resistance. Yeah. You already know the guys. Yeah. You know the scheme. You know the building. And again, you can sit there and laugh at the minutia of all of those things. Mm-hmm. But learning all of those things takes bandwidth. And it is going to be part of the exercise in getting acclimated with a new team. Let's hear from Aaron Rodgers yesterday on the Pat McAfee Show when he talked about what he was leaning towards and ultimately what he decided.
At this point, you know, I got to admit, I went in the darkness, 90% retiring, 10% playing. That's where my mind was. My mind was, I'm tired of this. I hadn't got back into my workouts yet. And I thought that was what was best for me. So I went in the darkness to contemplate a lot of different things. But one day I spent entirely on the reality I was retired. And one day I spent entirely on the reality that I was coming back and playing. And just really sat with that for hours and hours, what that looked like, what the reality is, how that all felt. And when I came out, I was really interested in what the kind of landscape was, where Green Bay was at. And obviously, if I wanted to play, you know, what were the options? So it was clear to me at that point that although the Packers were going to say the right thing publicly, that they were ready to move on. And again, I don't know what changed that or what moved that. If they just said, hey, you know, we need to make a decision here because he hasn't made a decision yet. Again, there's no victims here. I'm not sitting here as a victim.
It's totally irrational. Let's just think for one moment. Let's bring this back down to the everyman situation. Let's talk about if your company was going through downsizing. They didn't tell you who was downsizing. There was just there's a downsizing that is happening. And you decide to update your resume and post it on LinkedIn or post it on one of those job sites, right? You're just looking out there to see what other options are there just in case you happen to be one of the people that your company downsizes. And then your boss comes to you and says, well, we've noticed that your resume has been updated. And we heard from some people around the space in our industry that you put your resume out there. And them going, we weren't going to fire you before, but now we are because you were looking. The Packers were simply doing their due diligence. Mm-hmm. They were simply saying, if Rodgers decides that he wants to play somewhere else, shouldn't we know what the options are? And then Rodgers spun that back to, they don't want me, I'm out. Are you hearing what I'm saying? This is the insanity. This is the grind that they have been dealing with.
Well, again, that's the whole problem with your little equation there, Jen, is you're assuming we're dealing with a rational human being, which... we all know you're not. This guy is just the way he is.
Because again, the thing is, you would get angry at your organization. And Rodgers famously has when he feels like they haven't done their due diligence, when he feels like they haven't gone out there and seen what the open market has to offer, when they haven't kicked the tires on guys, right? And Gabe makes jokes about how, well, now every time there's a free agent or there's a guy who's on the move, the Packers are in the mix. But don't pull the trigger, right?
Yeah,
there's that running joke now. But like, Rodgers can't have it both ways.
No.
You can't then want them to do due diligence on all of the things. And when they do due diligence on you, use it as your reason for why you want to go somewhere else.
He wanted to go back to Green Bay. Because you don't go from 90% retired to, I'm going to go to the other spectrum, and now my commute is not 6 minutes, it's 60 minutes, and I got to deal with the hustle and bustle, and it's going to be a grind, and there's a ton of people, and I got to learn an all new offense. You don't go from 90 to that. You go from 90 to the safe
familiar,
thing.
To the familiar.
To the safe thing, especially when you're 39 years old.
Except when you're dealing with spite.
Yee.
With this guy. With
you
this
said
guy.
Spite.
When it comes to spite, it's a hell of a motivator for this guy.
So instead of R-E-L-A-X, we should be doing S-P-I-T. E, Chewy, it's E.
There was
There's an E.
There was an E. I just thought it was I-E before C and then after Q.
That's a U.
I know.
So if we're not good at math and we're not good at spelling, what
at
exactly
like
are we good at here?
Being Jags.
Certainly not getting out on time. We got
inappropriate
go.
Jokes.